Driver, we're clear.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of the Florida Project Podcast, where Disney fans celebrate Walt Disney World. If you like Disney and you like podcasts, you will probably like the Florida Project. I'm Jason. Next to me is Will.
Hello.
He is not across from me. So if the show's bad tonight, it's because we're sitting in different spots.
It's true.
And on the other side of me is Michael.
It's such a small world that we're all here at the same time.
It is. It's a rather large table, though, as far as tables go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the only one in my, not my normal spot, though, so it's all weird.
Yeah.
So I apologize if I am off tonight.
If you'd like to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, and hang out with us on our Patreon-exclusive Slack channel, become one of our Patreon saints at patreon.com/TFP podcast. All of our Patreon saints get access to two additional shows, TFP Extra,
Extra,
and Disney Classics. Each week on TFP Extra,
Extra,
we keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances and a topic that may or may not be Disney related. On the monthly Disney Classics series, we watch and discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. Our latest episode is all about Robin Hood and is available now for our Patreon saints. And the next one will be Mulan.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Additional levels and rewards are all on the Patreon site. So sign up at patreon.com/TFP podcast today and get more from the Florida Project. In this episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and small topics. Michael will give us the latest news. Will will take us on a trip down Main Tweet USA, and then we'll shine the attraction spotlight on another opening day attraction at Walt Disney World. It's a small world. All that and more is coming up on this week's episode of The Florida Project.
It's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topics. If Disney went to the World's Fair today, what do you think they'd put in their pavilion?
Sounds like Michael has an idea.
My vote would be a volume.
Mm.
Like you could go in and, you know, do stuff in it and like film things and then get your video on a DVD to take home. Like in the mall.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But you know what they would actually put in their pavilion?
What?
A big Disney store.
Well, yeah, there'd be...
With some backdrop
for
pictures.
There'd be opportunities for souvenirs.
Yeah. We should have World's Fairs again.
Like, we
that
should.
Are popular. Do they may still have them. We just don't know about it.
Yeah, I haven't actually heard if they do or not.
Well, you know what?
I know they have that big state fair.
Which state?
Georgia. Hmm.
They have the North Georgia State Fair, too.
Did they have a volume?
No.
No.
I mean, but it'd be turned up to 11, though, am I right? No, I am.
11 corn dogs, probably.
You know what? I think they should just redo Small World. We could all use a little bit more Small World today.
More countries.
That's true.
There are more now.
We need to just pay attention to the song. That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah.
Especially you.
Well, they need to lower the volume of the eye clicking, and then you can hear the song better.
That may just be at Walt Disney World. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been to Disneyland.
All right, Michael, what's yours?
I actually kind of, so along the same vein of an updated Small World, I think they should do an updated Carousel of Progress.
Mm.
And not just like a new end scene.
Make it an actual carousel where you ride little horses around?
No.
No. Well, then I'm not.
Keep the same concept, but I don't know, maybe have more time periods or I don't know. Just plus it somehow.
Yeah. They could also, this would be an opportunity to bring back nostalgic rides. So your Horizons or such.
They'll just trot Mr. Lincoln out there again.
But get your ball bearings here.
But you sell the ball bearings this time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right outside the entrance of the pavilion.
Jack's Magic Beans.
See if you can knock the hat off his head.
Yeah. All right. If you had to wear one of the Small World costumes, in the real world, which country would you choose?
You know,
this is tricky.
It is. So the only ones I can really picture are the Polynesian ones where they had the little,
the hula skirts
and stuff. But the guys were still wearing kind of like a little grass skirt type thing. The surfer guys,
mm-hmm.
They seem comfortable. I think I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
That's a good one. Now, are we wearing those costumes or are they size to us?
They're size to you.
And where are we?
Like
just normal day to day life.
Wherever the least appropriate place to wear.
Oh man.
Am I at jury duty?
I'm at jury duty.
Yeah, with my skirt. At work, in the office, doing a training.
I want to wear one of the costumes in the end scene, like the white.
Oh, that's gonna get fancy. Dirty.
But you still have to get to pick one of the styles, though.
You got to work on the car, though. Yeah, after that,
go for one of the like fancier ones, like India or I don't know, one that has a lot of pomp and circumstance to the costume.
God, I love that phrase,
pomp and circumstance.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite phrases.
It's also the best scene in Fantasia 2000.
We'll never know.
I might go for the Irish one. So there wouldn't be a cultural appropriation thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a little Irish in me, probably.
I think there's going to be a cultural appropriation going on with no matter what costume we pick.
Yeah.
But, or one of the, like the Iceland ones. Yeah, just a nice coat and big hat. Ooh, or if I am it, let's say it's wearing it to a theater performance of something. I could wear one of the British ones because I think those are like aren't they the palace guards?
I think so.
With the big hat. That would be awesome.
You can knock those off with ball bearings too.
Whoever's sitting behind me would be very sad.
Yeah, they would. That's okay. I mean, you look to the left and the right anyway. Yeah. I mean, typically, right? I mean,
what?
Who's sitting behind you on the boat?
No, at the theater.
Oh, in the theater. Apologies. Like I thought we were back on the boat. Sorry.
You need to go to more theater shows.
Maybe you need to go to more boat shows.
Oh, maybe.
Got him.
All right. And what small world country would you choose to move to if you were to relocate overseas somewhere?
New Zealand.
Is that in It's a Small World?
It is. It's the very last one.
There's an Australia.
There is. There's a boy with kiwis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have a map in front of me. It lists all the countries.
Let me see it. No, I believe you. I don't want to live there, but I would like to go visit the jungle room. That seems very whimsical and fun.
Like the hot. Like Elvis's jungle room?
Yeah.
Like the one in Africa or the rainforest?
The one with the hippo.
Oh, that's in Africa.
Yeah, that's the one I want to go to.
Hot.
It seems the most fun. No, it's air conditioned in there.
No, that's not the question.
It's the small world version. That's the question I'm answering.
I think I would go with France. Yeah, I'll go with France. I've always wanted to go to France or live in France. I've been to France.
My.
I've always wanted to live in France. And it forced me to learn French, finally. Instead of just winging it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Donde está biblioteca?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get you very far.
Où est la bibliothèque?
Why does everybody want to know where the library is?
Yeah.
Why did we learn that?
Well, you could go to the discotheque, too.
Juan es muy guapo. That means John is handsome.
Ah.
Où est mon chapeau rouge?
Is that cheese?
Where's my red hat?
I think we're starting to get offensive somehow.
No.
They're broken languages.
Il y a un chapeau rouge.
Trivia. What is the first country in It's a Small World, assuming we're talking about the Walt Disney World?
The United States of America.
No, it's not.
Load station.
No, that's Florida.
Prove me wrong. Yeah. Fine, Disneyland.
All right, once you get into like the attraction, what's the first country?
I don't know.
You start in Europe, though, don't you?
You do start in Europe. Well, Scandinavia, kind of. But Scandinavia, like, on the other side, so I don't know what you actually... On this map, it says it's Denmark, but Scandinavia kind of... You see parts of Scandinavia before Denmark.
All right. And
Wasn't that it?
Will, did you answer the question?
I did.
What
did
Africa. You say?
Okay. But the small world version.
And that's it for small topics.
Thanks, Jason. Those were some great small topics.
You bet.
News. So here are four news items to discuss this week about Walt Disney World and Disney in general.
And beyond?
And beyond.
There you go.
Now the first one is, wait for it, legendary.
Ah.
Number one, new Disney Legends and a new Disney Princess have been announced.
Ooh.
So Disney has announced 14 new Disney Legends to be honored in a special award ceremony hosted by Emmy Award winner Tamron Hall, which will kick off D23 Expo, the ultimate Disney fan event in Anaheim, California, which is less than a month away. Anthony Anderson, Kristen Bell, Chadwick Boseman, Robert Coltrane, Patrick Dempsey, Robert Price, Bob Foster, Jonathan Groff, Don Hahn, I would have thought he was already a legend, Josh Gad, Doris Hardoon, Idina Menzel, Chris Montan, Ellen Pompeo, and Tracy Ellis Ross will be honored for their significant and lasting contributions to the Disney legacy.
Moving is right up there with death and divorce in the Stress Olympics. But fear not. Turn that box of woes into a crate of woes with moving tips in the Life Beyond Boxes podcast with Premium Q Moving. Dive into the world of hassle-free moves, learn tips and tricks to save on cash and your sanity. Say goodbye to those moving meltdowns and hello to the smooth sailings. Or should we say smooth movings? Tune into Life Beyond Boxes with Premium Q Moving on lifebeyondboxes.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. And with us, unpack the secrets to a stress-free move.
What about, what's her name? Anna. What's her name?
She was in there, Kristen Bell.
Okay.
Yeah. Looks like the cast of Frozen.
I didn't start listening.
The cast of Frozen is in this list.
Well, that's good.
And some of the cast of Blackish. Anthony Anderson and Tracy Ellis Ross.
They misspelled Adele Dazeem, though.
They did.
Yeah. I don't know a lot of those people.
I don't know her.
I assume there's some Imagineers and whatnot in there.
You know Chadwick Boseman.
I know him. I don't know who Robert. Yeah. I looked that up, and that is a real. It's an Imagineer.
Oh, Robert Coltrane.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know Patrick Dempsey.
I know. Obviously, those are the ones I know.
I don't know who Robert Price, Bob Foster is,
but Chris you do Montan. Know who Jonathan Groff is.
I do.
Don Hahn's like on all those like documentaries and stuff.
Okay,
so he's like somehow involved with animation.
Well, congratulations to all of them.
Yeah. The Disney Legends Awards ceremony, which will be streamed as part of D23 Expo Live, will feature musical performances, special guests, and surprises for the audience, including a special performance by cast members from Disney's on-Broadway productions of Aladdin and The Lion King, as well as the North American tour of Frozen.
We saw them.
The Disney Legends Awards program began in 1987 when actor Fred McMurray became the first Disney legend. Including this year's honorees, there are 304 Disney legends that have been named. And also congratulations to Raya, because Disney has announced that Princess Raya of Raya and the Last Dragon is officially joining the Disney Princess lineup.
Boo!
Oh, why?
I hate dragons.
Oh. Well, the dragon's not a princess.
Thank goodness. All right, I'm fine with it. Never mind.
Raya is a princess in the film, so it makes sense that she would become an official Disney princess. And if you were wondering, the official Disney princesses are Snow White, Cinderella, Aurora, Ariel, Belle, Jasmine, Pocahontas, Mulan, Tiana, Rapunzel, Merida, Moana, and now Raya.
Yay!
So there are also some honorary official princesses, which are Elsa, Anna, and Mirabelle.
Mirabelle!
Yeah.
None of them are princesses.
Exactly. That's why they're honorary. They're treated as Disney princesses by Disney, but they're not actual Disney princesses with the criteria that the other Disney princesses have.
Yeah, they shouldn't be. And justice for Kida.
There's also two...
Nobody cares about Kida, including you.
I would like to see her. I think she would be a cool face character.
Nobody know who she was.
Come on.
There's also two former Disney princesses that have been retired.
Oh,
huh.
One is Tinkerbell.
Why?
She was removed in mid-2004 because she became the lead in the Disney Fairies franchise. Apparently, once they become too famous, they're no longer princesses.
What? I don't know. Belle's pretty famous.
But not Tinkerbell famous.
I don't know about
that. Like, she has her own show, her own universe. This is what I found online. I didn't make the rules. The second one is
we can't attack them. We can attack you.
The second one is Esmeralda from The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
She's been retired.
She was retired. Yeah, she was removed from the official lineup around 2005. If she had stayed with the franchise, she would have been the second Disney princess confirmed to have a child. Scandalous.
Huh. Who's her child?
Zephyr. She and Phoebus apparently had in the Hunchback sequel.
Who's Phoebus?
These are all
just
words.
That was the prince from the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
There's a prince?
Yeah.
Not the Hunchback?
No. Yeah, she didn't get with the Hunchback.
I
thought she would have.
You know what? I'm now against this whole princess thing if you can retire princesses.
Anyway, well, they have to retire her because she's problematic. Because of who she's the princess of.
Esmeralda?
Yeah.
What about Tinkerbell? She's problematic?
Well, I've always thought she's problematic.
Well, I understand, but she's... Anyway, I don't like talking about this anymore.
What about Nala?
What about Nala?
Also a queen.
Leia.
I'm going by the official Disney princess list.
Well, I'm boycotting the official Disney princess list. Officially.
Also, all this information could be wrong because who believes anything on the internet? Because
you made it up.
Dear Walt's frozen head.
Okay.
I'm going to put a call out to the listeners. Write in campaign for the TFP bros to be Disney legends.
I
bet they'll invite us to their opening things then if we're legends.
Yeah, I'll accept it if they want to.
I'll give a very long, boring speech like, what's that guy? Ric Flair.
Oof. It was not boring.
It was long.
It was long.
Well, speaking of long and boring, number two, more backstage tours return to Epcot.
Well done, Michael. That's your best segue ever.
Three more of Epcot's backstage tours are returning for guests in October. At the Land Pavilion, the one-hour behind-the-scenes walking tour in the greenhouses returns on October 2nd. That's the one I was alluding to be boring.
Yeah, I thought it was back already.
But if you're into plants and stuff, then it wouldn't be boring to you. It was just boring to us.
Even if you're into plants. if you're really into taking a long time to hand out cucumbers. Cucumber slices that are pre-sliced.
Maybe we just had a bad tour. But also, the Seas with Nemo and Friends Dive Quest and Dolphins in Depth both return on October 2nd. Dive Quest, however, requires scuba certification. The Behind the Seas tour is $35. Dive Quest is $219. And Dolphins in Depth is $199. Reservations can be made by the time you all hear this via the My Disney Experience app or at DisneyWorld.com.
You know, both of those prices seem reasonable for Disney scuba experiences, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Like, on the scale of Disney prices?
Yeah, I mean...
$219 to go scuba diving with dolphins, that's cool.
One of those dessert parties at the Halloween party was like $150.
Yeah.
And that's cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, every now and then the Disney pricing is confusing.
Yeah.
Because it's cheaper than you would expect. But also at Epcot, the parking lot is finally getting some much-needed TLC. While the interior of the park is being transformed, the parking lot is currently being completely resurfaced, with sections being closed off to vehicles as work is completed. Also, new signage and numbering schemes are coming to the parking lot once it's complete. And some new signage that is already present is that promoting the new My Disney Experience car locator feature.
You're not going to believe what we numbered the seventh row.
Well, speaking of numbers, that brings us to number three. Advanced booking window for Disney resorts has been updated. Disney World has shortened the advanced booking window for room-only hotel reservations. Previously, the window was 499 days from the current date. Reservations so far in advance were only available to be made by phone. But now, Disney is shortening the booking window for room-only reservations to however far out their current annual product is. For guests wishing to book past our current available dates, new annual packages and expanded date available typically become available in the late spring. So, for example, right now, dates are only available through the end of 2023. And when they announce 2024 dates and pricing next spring, the booking window will then follow to the end of 2024.
Mm.
I wonder why it was 499 days. That's a very specific number.
500 is too many.
Yeah, it seems like a system.
Like a Y2K bug sort of thing?
Yeah, or
one of you developers,
or a missed requirement.
Didn't know how to do regular expressions for 500, but you did know 499.
Listen to you.
I know, right?
You've heard the word regular expressions
before.
I
used to know how to do some regular expressions. I actually asked Michael to cheat for me a little bit.
Why? Not cheat, you're asking for assistance.
Yeah.
It's not cheating.
Yeah. Well, I was supposed to learn it, which was dumb.
We should all be okay
in
asking
college?
For help when
no,
we need it.
For work.
Yeah, not in college. I didn't know Will in college.
Yeah, how would I have asked Michael in college?
Except that one time we crossed paths at Disney in the 80s, remember?
That's true.
Were you both in the backs of each other's pictures?
Yes.
And apparently I lied. There was only 3 news items, not 4. So that is it for news.
That was some good news, Michael, and one really fantastic segue.
Tweet.
All right, this week on Main Tweet USA, are you ready to speculate wildly?
Heck yeah.
Let's
always
do it.
Are we speculating about Spectrum Magic?
No, but Blips. Close. How about the Main Street Electrical Parade?
Oh, boo.
So Disney recently announced that the Main
Street... Sorry, I lost track of what I love and hate.
The Electrical Parade would end at Disneyland on September 1st,
good.
Which was disappointing news for fans of this iconic show. For fans, not you, okay? Shut it.
You know what I would be excited about if they lit it on fire at the end?
Well, it might. I mean, honestly, it's surprising it hasn't, quite frankly. It's chicken wire and like 1980s light bulbs. Yeah. I mean, so... On a more positive note, Shop Disney tweeted this week that a new Disney's Electric Light Parade Magic Band Plus is available, and that was available on August 17th, and they look cool, by the way. With the Main Street Electrical Parade ending on September 1st, this new Magic Band Plus could be a way for guests to remember the show, or as some fans are speculating, it could mean that Disney are perhaps planning to bring this popular show back to Walt Disney World at some point in the future.
That is one of the big rumors that we're getting a nighttime show, like parade.
So, to celebrate the parade's 50th, we talked about this previously, a new grand finale was added, which featured a combination of Disney classic characters, as well as some new additions to the Disney family, which included Mirabelle and Antonio, The Jungle Book, Raya, no dragon, Aladdin, actually there was a dragon, I cut it out.
But they got that dragon.
Coco, Mulan, Brave, and more.
Oh.
Actually, the more was Princess and the Frog.
Oh.
So, I didn't want to type it out.
And the gang.
I was tired of typing. So... speculate wildly. Hey, they released a Magic Band Plus. It's ending on September 1st for no apparent reason. Sounds like it's time to bring it home.
People have speculated with far less evidence.
Absolutely.
Haven't they brought it back here 1,000 times already?
Twice.
Bring something new.
No, we can't do
it. But it's the 50th anniversary.
We don't do that here.
To bring it now.
But Jason. that one that we like, it's in California. It's just sitting there, right?
The water
it's probably
project?
Gonna, no. The,
world, yeah, the water nope. Project.
What is it? Paint the Night.
Yeah, Paint the Night.
Not the water pageant. How dare you?
Can't wait.
This is my segment. We don't have to talk about the electrical water pageant.
It's like a kiss goodnight when you're crossing the lagoon.
It's like a burp and blow in your face goodnight. Uh-huh. I don't mean that. It sounds funny. So I'd be cool with the electrical
the eighth
parade.
Grade kiss is what they call that.
I'd be cool if it came back.
Yeah, but me too.
Let's go to another wild speculation with a little bit more actual evidence. Could we finally get to see Epcot's Harmonious barges come to life in the daytime? So the nighttime show Harmonious debuted at Epcot on September 29th of last year. Back when it was first announced, there was talk from creative portfolio executive Zach Ridley about a daytime show as well as the nighttime one. Little has been said about this proposed project since then. At the end of September 2021, it was reported in an interview that Disney was still working on the daytime show, but no further details have been given. There have been sightings of the fountains working during the day on a few occasions since then, which has given us hope that something could be announced in the future. On August 13th, a guest posted a photo online of the fountains working during the day. This leads us to wildly speculate that Disney may be testing the fountains for a possible daytime show. It may also mean that they were just testing them and still no daytime show is planned. However, things at Walt Disney World are certainly back to the most normal they have been since the COVID-19 shutdowns of March 2020. With the Epcot transformation in full swing, surely this is the right time for Disney to finally put something together for the barges to entertain guests in the daytime. So
those screens are real bright.
They are.
So you could see them if they turn them on in the daytime. The and even just if they just played soap operas.
Oh, that's
well, nice. They usually have stuff on the screens during the day.
Like they
have that
the Walt Disney 50th.
Yeah, the iridescent thing.
The original artwork had the fountains on during the day. So that's, I'm going to speculate that's all it really is. Maybe they finally figured those out.
I think it was to make the barges look more
alive.
Yeah, during the day.
Not the horrible eyesore that they are. And the worst thing that's happened to Disney since...
Sliced bread.
You got to have hope, Will.
I do have hope. It'd be fun. Do a daytime show. Let's do it. Put another kite tail out there.
And rebellion is built on hope.
And that's it for Main Tweet USA.
Thanks, Will. That was a great trip down Main Tweet USA.
Today's topic is Attraction Spotlight. It's a Small World Opening Day Edition. No, I guess it would be Attraction Spotlight Opening Day Edition. It's a Small World. After all. You know what I don't like about It's a Small World?
What's that?
The styling.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
I don't like it at all.
I first wrote it all down as, you know, It's a Small World with capital letters and everything.
Yep.
But now it's in quotes and all lowercase.
Yeah.
I think it's cute.
I'm a big fan of grammar.
Yeah.
So I don't like this.
You nerd.
But don't grammar rules go out the window when it's like a title of something?
No, there are grammar rules for title. It's called title case.
You guys, this is too exciting for the podcast.
All right.
This conversation.
It's a Small World, currently stylized as lowercase It's a Small World, is a water-based dark ride located in the Fantasyland area of each of the Walt Disney parks and resorts worldwide. Disneyland Parks in California, Magic Kingdom in Florida, Tokyo Disneyland, Disneyland Park Paris, and Hong Kong Disneyland.
No Shanghai.
No, they have like a different one, right?
Yeah. We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's not my business.
It's a different episode.
The Chinese government censored half of the country. It's in it. The ride features over 300 audio animatronic dolls in traditional costumes from cultures around the world, frolicking in a spirit of international unity and singing the attraction's title song, which has a theme of global peace in harmony. Mm. And here to tell us about it from...
Parts Unknown
is a very special guest, Will Dunn.
Oh, hello, everybody. Thank you. Keep the applause to a minimum.
Can I just say that knowing that there's 300 plus audio animatronics means there's 600 clicking eyes throughout the attraction.
Some of them don't even close, probably.
I know. Sometimes it's just one eye.
Yeah. They're just winking at you, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Not as bad as those tiki ones.
Yeah. It needs some
less
DLC.
Creepy.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Every time I'm there, I'm like, come on, we need to at least put some WD-40 on these things. All right, let's talk about the history quickly of It's a Small World, which a lot of it we've probably heard before. There was a special episode of the Disney Imagineering show on Disney Plus all about Small
World.
That's right. Which was very interesting. Well, so let's talk about it a little bit. It was conceived at the Walt Disney Studios in Burbank as Children of the World, created by Wed Enterprises, then shipped to the 1964 New York World's Fair UNICEF Pavilion, sponsored by Pepsi, where it featured at its entrance a kinetic sculpture called the Tower of the Four Winds, 120-foot perpetually spinning mobile, created by WED designer Raleigh Crump. I love his name. It's a Small World joined four other 1964 New York World's Fair attractions, Magic Skyway from Ford, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln from sponsored by Illinois, Carousel of Progress sponsored by General Electric, and Circle Vision 360 sponsored by Kodak. And these were already under development at WED. These attractions were used by WED to fund and test concepts, develop ride systems, and innovate new entertainment options intended to be moved and rebuilt at Disneyland after the World's Fair closed in 1966. Of these, Carousel of Progress, It's a Small World, and the Magic Skyway's primeval world scenes will be relocated at Disneyland, with Great Moments of Mr. Lincoln being replicated at Disneyland in 1965 due to all the ball bearing damage. Actually, that was at Disneyland when they were throwing ball bearings, right? No, it was here. Cause no, it was at the World's Fair because they got them from like the Ford Pavilion.
Yeah.
Or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you probably can't just happen upon ball bearings at Disneyland without.
It says while the original attraction still ran at the fair, but I'm speculating that he had so many ball bearings damaged spots that they couldn't bring him over.
Why were ball bearings new?
I'm out of information.
I want to learn more about why ball bearings were being given out in such quantity.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a story there that I've heard or read about, something about the ball bearings at the World's Fair.
Yeah. Maybe people thought they were marbles.
It's about the Mr. Lincoln. They threw them at
Well, no, that, but about like how, why they had them, but gotcha. I can't remember what it was.
The Pepsi board of directors took so long to agree on what type of attraction to sponsor that then board member and widow of past company president Alfred Steele, actress Joan Crawford, prevailed upon her longtime Hollywood friend Walt Disney to design such an attraction as would be suitable for Pepsi. What does suitable for Pepsi mean? Like just inferior to their competitor? Ooh.
Yep. Ooh, you got them.
Because of the short lead time to design, create, and construct such an attraction, she insisted that the board of directors accept his proposal, seeing as he was already designing attractions for the state of Illinois, Ford, General Electric, and Kodak, and knew Walt was the only one who could accomplish such a feat in the short time left until the fair was scheduled to open. The Wed Enterprises company was given only 11 months to create and build the pavilion.
That's crazy.
Mary Blair was responsible for the attraction's whimsical design and color styling. Blair had been an art director on several Disney animated features, including Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, and Peter Pan. Like many Disneyland attractions, scenes and characters were designed by Mark Davis, while his wife, Alice Davis, designed the costumes for the dolls. Raleigh Crump designed the toys and other supplemental figures on display. The animated dolls were designed and sculpted by Blaine Hoot Gibson. Walt was personally involved with Gibson's development of the doll's facial design, and each animated doll face is completely identical in shape. Aero Development was deeply involved in the design of the passenger-carrying boats and propulsion system of the attraction. Two patents that were filed by Aero Development staff and assigned to the Walt Disney Company illustrate passenger boats and vehicle guidance systems with features very similar to those later utilized on the Disneyland installation of the attraction. The firm is credited with manufacturing the Disneyland installation as well.
Hmm.
So what do you think about when you think about Small World the most? It's probably the song.
It's the song.
Yeah.
And the clicking eyes. Huh? I think about the clicking eyes.
I understand. But it's the song.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. Children of the World was the working title of the attraction. Its tentative soundtrack, which can be heard on the album, featured the national anthems of each country represented throughout the ride, all playing all at once.
Seems like
yikes!
Which resulted in a disharmonic cacophony. Walt conducted a walk through the attraction scale model with his staff songwriters Robert B. Sherman and Richard M. Sherman, saying, quote, "I need one song that can be easily translated into many languages and can be played as a round." The Sherman brothers then wrote "It's a Small World, After All," in the wake of the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis.
You know, those Sherman brothers, they know what they're doing.
The crisis influenced the song's message of peace and brotherhood. When they first presented it to Walt, they played it as a slow ballad. Walt requested something more cheerful, so they sped up the tempo and sang in counterpoint. Walt was so delighted with the final result that he renamed the attraction "It's a Small World" after the Sherman Brothers song.
It's a world.
Is argue that this song is the single most performed and most translated piece of music on earth.
Oh, wow.
In 2014, it was estimated.
What are they counting? Like,
what do you want?
Large choirs, or are they just saying because they play this song probably in that ride a billion times a day?
In 2014, it was estimated that the song had played nearly 50 million times worldwide on the attractions alone, beating out the radio and TV estimates for "You've Lost That Lovin' Feelin'" and "Yesterday," which were believed to have been played at least 8 and 7 million times, respectively.
I don't know. The Macarena played a lot.
It
Who
did.
Let the Dogs Out?
Small World probably has that beat.
Hmm.
We never did find out Who Let the Dogs Out.
Mm-mm.
It's one of life's enduring mysteries.
It was Cruella DeVille, wasn't it?
No, she would never let the dogs out purposefully.
She'd let them out of life.
Yeah.
Probably the person who was hiding the beef.
Nice. Yeah. In 2022, a 1964 recording of It's a Small World, performed by the Disneyland Boys Choir, was selected by the Library of Congress for preservation in the United States National Recording Registry as being, quote, culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. And I want to say something else. The song is lovely. I mean, there's all this talk, ha-ha, of it's an earworm and it's the horrible. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice song.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with it.
That's such a basic. Such a basic hot take. Shut up.
It doesn't get stuck in my head as much as the Haunted Mansion all day.
Yeah.
That's all day. That's all I hear in my head.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, enough about that. It's a lovely song. Everybody should agree with it.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Motion carried.
All right. So at the New York World's Fair, the first incarnation of It's a Small World was an afterthought and nearly didn't happen. Ford and General Electric had engaged Disney early on to create their pavilions for the World's Fair. Wed Enterprises had already long been at work developing a dancing doll designed to reproduce human movement, resulting in a crude early animatronic figure fashioned as Abraham Lincoln when the state of Illinois approached Disney to create the Illinois Pavilion. Representatives of the state instantly approved after being introduced to the robotic figurehead. A 9 widescreen Circle Vision 360 exhibit for Kodak's Pavilion was also being planned as an improvement over the existing Disneyland 11 4x3 format screen Circarama, which later failed the installation deadline for opening. When Pepsi approached Disney with a plan to tribute UNICEF, the attraction was incredibly successful. 10 million 60 cents and 95 cent tickets for children, 60 cents for children and 95 cent tickets for adults, respectively, were collected in 2 half-year seasons, and the proceeds were donated to UNICEF.
Oh, nice.
While other attractions had lines out the doors, there seemed to always be a seat available aboard It's a Small World. Its high rider per hour capacity was recognized as a valuable innovation and was incorporated indirectly and directly into future attractions. Pirates of the Caribbean had been under construction at Disneyland as a subterranean walkthrough. That design was scrapped as concrete was broken out so similar boats could sail past scenes, which, because the original walkthrough scene length was not shortened, were now different each voyage, and another concept which forever influenced attraction design and popularity. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That's interesting.
So speaking of Disneyland, after the World's Fair ended, the ride was disassembled and shipped back to Disneyland in 1966.
No disassemble.
Oh, nice.
That's, no disassemble. Oh,
man, that's short circuit. That?
Johnny Five is alive.
Man, I didn't expect that.
I didn't either. I'll see you guys next.
Yeah,
that was next good. Episode.
That was good. I like it. I was going to make a joke that they disassembled it and put them all in little like boxes. If it fits, it ships. Just a bunch of those. It would be the most expensive ride at the time to ship back to Disneyland. The boats now enter the show building through a tunnel under the Small World Clock Tower and emerge from the attraction 15 minutes later.
I bet they had obnoxiously specialized boxes, too, for those.
Oh, you know it. The show building interior is larger than the facade. Voyagers see animatronic dolls in traditional local costumes singing It's a Small World together, each in their native language. Boats carry voyagers as they visit the regions of the world. So in Disneyland, there have been various updates and changes to the attraction over the years, but we're going to focus on the Magic Kingdom version today. Sound good?
Did they carry over the secret passageway to Tomorrowland?
No.
From the World's Fair?
We didn't get that. Okay. Sorry. They didn't put it.
It got lost in shipping?
Yeah. Okay. Walt was like, no, that's too expensive.
That's too expensive.
All right. On October 1st, 1971,
actually, Walt would have been like, yeah, do it.
Yeah.
And Roy goes.
Jason's shaking his head.
Yeah. But with that, like.
Should we do it?
No.
No. Idiots.
I got a truck.
On October 1st, 1971, a version of the ride opened in Florida's Walt Disney World Fantasyland within the Magic Kingdom. Ooh. The boarding queue was built inside the Enchanted Hall, which is an alleyway that transitions from Fantasyland to Liberty Square. Although now it's been extended because it has the Tangled bathrooms too, really. And then because that used to be the Skyway.
It's less hall-like now.
Yeah, it's actually tunnel-like because there's so many people trying to get through there every time. The three-dimensional facade that is seen outdoors in the other Disney parks was instead located in a slightly smaller scale along the far wall. The clock lacks the parade of wooden dolls and instead goes straight to opening the central pair of doors to reveal the time. Kodak sponsored the attraction for an unknown period of time in the early 80s, before the toy company Mattel sponsored the attraction from 1991 until 1998, when it transferred its sponsorship to another Magic Kingdom attraction, Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin in nearby Tomorrowland, from that attraction's opening in 1998 until 1999, when it also dropped its sponsorship of that attraction, thus ending Mattel's history as a Walt Disney World sponsor. So that's really funny, by the way. They're like, no, we're going to Buzz Lightyear year later. We're going to stop just paying for this, right? Yeah. They got a new committee member. No. Why are you literally just giving them money?
We're going to have to lay off a whole bunch of people wait a minute. What about this line item here?
These companies.
What do we get from that?
People finally got wise to the Disney. This is the biggest boondoggle of all time.
Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah.
We're going to put their little logo on here, and they're going to pay us to do it.
The Doritos Pirates of the Caribbean. $3 billion.
This is something I'm not surprised has been really phased out for the most part on every attraction.
Sponsor?
Yeah. Now Pandora sponsors, not even Pandora, but
Enchantment. Yeah, that seems like a missed opportunity.
Although it would not be keeping in theme, Mike.
They even have a charm
for
that world. A banshee or a
probably
tail or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
it should be Pandora sponsored by James Cameron.
it is really. Let's see. In 2005, the attraction's load area was redesigned to feature an indoor version of the facade and clock tower from Disneyland, based on that counterpart. So this is when it started to look more like the traditional Small World that we'd seen from pictures of Disneyland and everything. I think, it's probably recognized universally that the Disneyland version is a lot prettier than the Walt Disney World going in and those walls and everything look a lot nicer in the daylight than they do under the fluorescent lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And with the ceiling there, the ceiling isn't very aesthetically pleasing.
Tell me a drop ceiling is not the right ceiling, brightly
especially
lit
an
for
older,
an attraction.
An older drop ceiling.
How dare you? We have a drop ceiling in this room, this very room.
Yep. But this isn't sponsored by Mattel, so think about that.
Not anymore. They sponsored us for the first year, but
then they're like, why are we doing this?
Who are these people?
Stop sponsoring things, Bill.
You can say no when people ask you things.
I just like to be liked.
I was so confused when I was little and I had the storybook for It's a Small World, the little record thing.
Yeah.
It was popular at the time and it would show the boats outside going into Small World. And I was so confused because I knew the Magic Kingdom didn't have that.
It is so lovely that I know we're talking about Walt Disney World today, but the way that you load onto a Small World at Disneyland and have that little bit of outside is just so nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's so California. I really like it.
And you can see it from the monorail when you go by, you can see the boats going around.
It's whimsical. That's what it is. All right. So we just have a bunch of bullet points here at this point, because most of the information that I could gather today was about the Disneyland version, but mainly it just had a lot of updates over the years to make everything smoother, the animatronics a little bit better, the soundtrack improved,
Yeah.
It's no longer on tape. It's digital. So everything that happened there happened at Walt Disney World too, basically.
Except the characters.
What about them?
The movie characters?
Oh, yeah.
That they put in?
We don't have those.
I love that. People hate that, but you know what? Real people don't hate that.
Yeah, exactly.
Most people love that.
It's a fun Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
I
wish they would do it at Walt Disney World.
I do too.
I really do. Yeah.
And the Christmas overlay.
So another difference is the goodbye room, which at Disneyland shows different postcards and parting phrases from around the world, instead displays these parting phrases written on highly stylized flowers. And sometimes your name too, if that still runs. The attraction did undergo a major refurbishment from May 2004 to March 2005, reopening with a state-of-the-art sound system, new lighting effects, and an enclosed loading area similar to the attraction's facade at Disneyland. The loading and exit areas were also repositioned to opposite positions.
Oh, interesting. I don't remember that.
It was also closed for refurbishment in 2010 and 2016. In 2016, the sound was cleaned up and retuned, animatronics were replaced, and the Goodbye Rim flowers were digitalized with screens showing guests' first names, like I said. Previously, the facade was colorful until the 2004-2005 refurbishment, when it was replaced with the colors from Disneyland, which is mainly gold and white. In the Africa Room, the pink elephant is above the exit instead of on the right wall and has plain white eyes without pupils. Cool. The Finale Room has three hot air balloons that move up and down and were reused on all subsequent versions except Disneyland. During 2004-2005, this one I found weird. The frowning clown in one of the hot air balloons in the Finale was holding the sign, "Help." After the refurbishment, it was removed and replaced with a happy clown. Because you know somebody went through there. What is this scary clown crap? Oh, just get, no. Well, we're trying to say, I don't care what you're trying to say. Put a happy clown in there. It's Small World. Everybody's happy.
Yeah. It's not Scary World.
The song is sung
that's
by
on the news every night.
The song is sung by the different nations spread all around in unison instead of Disneyland's single version. The Finale does not represent a specific nation either. The entire room is flooded instead of California's flume style, where the water only fills the track, and the room is outside the track.
That was the most surprising thing the first time I went on the Disneyland
right?
version.
Right, it looked completely different.
Yeah.
On July 27th, 2021, following Walt Disney World's reopening, Magic Kingdom announced that the original version would close for refurbishment. It was reopened on July 30th in time for Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary celebration, and the ride is currently being repainted with a new color scheme outside of operating hours.
Yeah, it has the brighter colors now. And also, they used to have, I don't remember when this went away, but in that final scene, there used to be like this like monorail or train that would go back and forth.
Oh, really?
Across it. And disappear into the wall, and then it would come back. But it's not there anymore. You can still see the hole in the wall where the string was or whatever.
That.
Yeah, I used to love that, and then it stopped.
Since 1997, Disneyland has featured "It's a Small World" holiday during the end of the year Christmas and holiday season. The attraction is closed in late October to receive temporary holiday decorations inside and outside and reopens in early November before the start of the busy holiday tourist season. The overlay has proved very popular and at one point during its run needed the use of FastPass machines, which have since been removed. The attraction is the same boat voyage through many regions of the world, though the main theme song is not played in full. Instead, the children sing Jingle Bells and a bridge of Deck the Halls in addition to the main theme.
Yeah, I like so how it good. Blends in yeah. and out. It's pretty cool.
This is my favorite thing in the whole show. The Magic Kingdom does not have its own holiday edition, and the regular ride operates continuously through the holiday season.
That's weird. You'd think it would.
I wish they would, too. I, you know, I don't want them to change a Haunted Mansion to Haunted Holiday, but Small World, they do Jingle Cruise, do Small World.
Yeah. They don't do a ton of, like, holiday decorations outside of Main Street. In Disney World.
Yeah.
And it's probably, but they do the whole Disneyland park. It's probably the same.
You can just size. You can just reach it with two arms, is what you're saying.
Yeah. The Main Street decorations are the same amount as the rest of the park at Disneyland.
Would you like to hear some trivia about the attractions?
No, thank you.
Michael, would you?
I would.
Thank you. Michael is editing the copy as I'm reading it. At Disney World, each boat has a capacity of 24 passengers. The animated slash unanimated figures, there are 472 of them with 944 eyes.
Yes.
And there are 289 audio animatronic dolls. There are 147 toys and 36 animated props. The slogan for the Disney World version is the happiest cruise that ever sailed the seven seas. The Disneyland one is actually different. It's like the happiest cruise that ever sailed the world or something like that.
Oh, really?
They're all a little bit different. There's a lot more trivia on the sites I found today about each Small World attraction, but the episode doesn't need to be 2 hours long. So I found there's a lot of neat stuff in each attraction because they're all a little bit different and show some different countries here and there because they're in different countries.
Did they go into more detail on that in the Imagineering episode?
I believe remember. So. It's been a while since I watched that.
If you haven't seen that, definitely see that if you're interested.
Yeah, I may watch it again, after this episode. In The Lion King, Scar tells an imprisoned Zazu to sing something with a little bounce in it. Zazu sings It's a Small World, and Scar cuts him off by saying No, anything but that. That's probably where a lot of this started.
Maybe.
In Hercules, when Hercules finds Megara's soul in the underworld, Hades tells him it's a small underworld after all. He does not sing it. He just says it. In the movie Tomorrowland, as we previously mentioned, the 1964 World's Fair version of the attraction is seen in Frank Walker's flashback.
They filmed that at the Disneyland version.
They did. A rejected 1977 pitch for a film version of It's a Small World was to have focused on the adventures of the children of United Nations representatives hoping to get their bickering parents to agree on something by staging their own kidnapping. However, a war profiteer seeking to exploit the chaos sets out to capture them to escalate the situation.
That sounds like your quintessential live-action Disney movie from like the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been perfect for 1977.
This film was not made.
No.
Which, you know what? They could have tried it in the 80s on the Disney Channel, like, original movie, too.
Yeah.
I think that would have been perfectly fine.
And they still might. I mean, they're doing a Big Thunder Mountain Railroad movie. So maybe they'll figure out a way to do a It's a Small World.
All right. So let's talk a little bit. What are your favorite parts besides the song? I mean, we've already talked the song to death.
My favorite part is really the second half of it. So, like, the Africa room, the South America, like, with the rainforest and the rain, and then the whole, I guess it's the South Pacific region, which is the remaining room. Like, those three flow so well to me. And I think it's because they're more exotic. Like
When it has, like, little thing I like about this ride is how, again, it's whimsical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not overwhelming with animatronics and, like, ridiculous, crazy stuff. It's all so simple and yet so charming at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
My literal favorite thing on the entire attraction is in that Southwest room where the sun has, like, the little sun rays that, like, they're stationary and has a background of one that spins, and it just looks like the sun is animated. And that's just so cute.
Yeah, that's a good... There's also near there, there's the where they pass by India, and there's a really cool, like, forced perspective of, I think it's the Taj Mahal with like a long, like, kind of like pool in front of it, but it's like slanted upward. And there's like characters singing around it, but it has like a cool look because it looks bigger than obviously than what it actually is.
Yeah. I also, the jungle room, as I previously talked about, I'm a huge fan of. And I like how they simulate the rain. It's just like streamers. I mean, not streamers, but like, you know, the tinsel.
Yeah.
With a little light on it. I mean, it's just so nice. I mean, the whole thing is just so nice and so charming. I really like it.
It is. It's also, we were talking about before, I think the loading area does a disservice for the attraction at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
It's better now because they've, you know, upgraded it and made it more dimensional and there's more color, but it feels a little cheaper in the loading and unloading area than it does until you get inside the actual, like, go through the tunnel and
it's
start.
Better.
Yeah, it's gotten better, but I've always,
it still just looks kind of cheap.
Yeah,
I don't know another way to say it.
And I don't think it's because Disneyland doesn't, because I've felt that way since before I went on the Disneyland one, but yeah, there's something weird about that kind of, it detracts from the overall experience, but no, ultimately doesn't matter. I mean, the rest of it makes up for the loading area.
Yeah. And the goodbye scene, but even before you get to the goodbye room, the The finale, yeah. The all-white finale with all the children of the world coming together, yeah, on that last scene. It's just, I don't know another word besides charming.
They're so happy and it's fun and everyone singing and dancing together.
And they're still singing the song. And it doesn't get stuck in my head. I like it.
Yeah. And they're wearing the same clothes as they were,
mm-hmm,
but they're all white now. Mm-hmm. That's
also
cool.
It's also, whether it's intentional or not, it's very heaven-like.
Mm. It is.
That's it for It's a Small World. No segue.
All right. If you have ever heard of It's a Small World, email us at... Oh, actually, speaking of emails, if you want to email into the show, you could be like listener Jason did. He sent in a small topic idea via email, and we're so out of habit with reading the emails on the show that we forgot to add it to the small topic. So, Jason, we will get you next week during What's Up With... whatever the winner is of the Patreon poll.
It'll either be Enchanted, Flight of the Navigator, The Rocketeer.
Or Tron.
Tron, but probably not George of the Jungle.
Yeah, so no, hopefully we name your child on a good episode.
Let's go, Tron. Let's go, Tron. We're going to stuff the ballot boxes.
So anyway, if you want to write in an email, we will continue to read them on the air if you'd like.
It's haven't gotten any in a while.
Shoot us an email at info@tfppodcast.com. We are on Facebook and Instagram at /TFP Podcast and Twitter at TFP_podcast. But let's be honest, we're really on Instagram whenever we're in the parks. And then most of the time we're not on the other social media. Where we really are is on the Slack. So if you want to join us in the Slack channel, sign up at patreon.com/TFP podcast today. And, you know, you can hang out with us during the workday. During the evenings.
Right now.
On the weekends, Will generally chats with Patreons and tweets or posts things out of context, which is fun. there's a brand new Hot Dog Channel. There's a Big Brother channel.
These are the less popular channels.
There's a Star Wars and a Marvel where we talk about those things.
Whenever we have a new Star Wars or Marvel TV show, we go chat about it there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do. So if you want to hang out with some pretty cool people in a pretty chill place on the internet, where everybody generally likes most things, come join us on Patreon.
Yeah, it's not very negative on our Slack channel, thankfully.
Nope. I think that's it. That's all I got. Anything else?
It's a world of laughter.
It's a world of tears.
It's a small world after all.
A world of hope and a world of bears. Fears.
Bears? Bears. It's a world of laughter, a world of tears, a world of hope, and a world of bears.
It's pronounced beers.
Ah, beers.
There's so much that we share. And it's time we're a swim.
We don't call the rest of the words. Anyway.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon. Elsa's a queen. She's not a princess.
Anna's a queen. Didn't you watch Frozen 2?
Oh, spoiler. Yeah.
Well, that's why they're honorary, because they're treated as Disney princesses, but they're not official Disney princesses.
Everybody has to get a trophy, you know? Mm. Bunch of snowflakes up in that. Get it?
Rather.
Because it's cold.
Yeah.
And then snow, the ice queen.
Congratulations to Raya.
The great moments with Mr. Lincoln shooting gallery.
Oh, no. If it doesn't need to be said, please cut that out. Too soon.
Obviously, that's going to be cut
too
out.
Too soon.
That's for the gag reel.
Yeah. Is it less offensive if it's President McKinley shooting range?
Nobody cares.
Yeah, Will.
Nobody cares about President McKinley. Didn't he die at a World's Fair, actually? Didn't he get shot at a World's Fair?
Why did you do it, Johnny?
I think that's possible.
Or a train station.
But I think it was a train station going to the World's Fair or something. Doesn't matter.
That's all they had back then, the World's Fair.
That's the only reason you went out of the house. Thank you.